Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome. This is, again, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, and the other Dr. John Braccio right with me. We're in at the, you call it the Golden Throne, did you not,
yes,
John?
Yes, Jack's Golden Throne.
of Jack Ebling. And just want to share a few more things. Just the idea that the last election, that there's an optimism in the state, in a state that has so much unemployment, had such difficult times. Just a feeling now that things with a business person in charge, regardless of what your politics are, there's some optimism, some positive things. And I think that is a good thing in our state, because certainly we see a lot of people that are really quite unhappy and just looking for some changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, one other thing, this was such a wonderful thing when I saw it here in the paper, here in Lansing paper. Dr. Eugene, I believe it's Beal, 90 years old, a gentleman, looks just like a terrific guy, the picture here, surviving baton. Those of us that really think of World War II and think of the amazing feats of the soldiers and recognize this baton death march, one of the absolute worst things that ever happened to any military forces, let alone the U.S. military forces. And so many of these men not only died, but had short lifespans after they came back after the war. So when you see, this guy really is kind of an amazing looking guy, isn't he, John?
Yeah, definitely.
So just one of those things that makes you proud, makes you happy. And here's a guy, 90, still running around. So I think that is really just a very good thing. Also, as a sports guy, I was really surprised to read here, actually in the New York Times, how dangerous football used to be. We keep talking about football. Well, back in around 1909, 1910, 26 players died in 1909 playing football, including 10 at the college level, 13 in 1908, 18 in 1905. So actually, rules were changed to make football less violent.
Yeah, I believe Teddy Roosevelt, there was a period he wanted to ban American football.
Well, kind of interesting. But and of course, he was an old football player, I believe. But the thing here is we talk about violence, and clearly football can have a lot of violence with spearing and some of the things that occur. But imagine all these people dying at the turn of the century. I might add, here it also talks about Jim Thorpe. Couldn't imagine anybody ever getting hurt, I might add, in terms of playing football. Apparently, he was a pretty tough guy. Another thing, and I'm not sure, maybe John or Scott or one of you guys, scientists are proposing a one-way flight to Mars. Somehow I don't like that idea. I mean, there's something, I'd wonder who's going with me, of course, but I think I would rather have an idea of coming back. So you can see kind of the wacky things that psychologists notice.
We can get there, but we can't get back.
Right. And then is something else we're going to talk about a little later here about the need for heroes. This is an article here about commoner to royalty, that the prince in England is going to be marrying a commoner, Kate Middleton. And again, I'm not so much into this king-queen type stuff, but apparently they're expecting a vast number of reporters, news people going over there. So I guess in this world, even though in our Constitution we kind of got rid of all the names of royalty after our experiences with George III and the House of Lords, I guess, but still there's this desire for heroes and others. So we'll get into that shortly. I see that ex-President Bush, that he's going to have his presidential center. Kind of one of the unfortunate things was the assistant AG, this was certainly talked about last week, I should say, who kind of went after the person at the University of Michigan, kind of doing some really inappropriate things, and actually lost his job because he was lying in terms of that type thing. But any time you're attacking students and going after young people, that's just hopelessly inappropriate, particularly if we believe in freedom of speech in a positive way, but not in terms of stalking. It's going way beyond anything that would fit into freedom of speech.
Yeah, definitely crossing the line there.
I don't think there's any question. Another thing that I really enjoyed was looking here at John Mish. He's a linebacker at Michigan State and a guy that clearly did not have the assets of a Jones or a Gordon, but a guy who's played with his heart and has played tremendous football over time.
Yeah, definitely a former walk-on who's earned the scholarship, and definitely he's played a lot with the regular defense this year. He's been a special teams guy for a few years, a guy from Orchard Lake St. Mary's, I believe.
And instead of praising himself, he's saying how much he's enjoyed watching the progress of Jones and Gordon. I mean, come on. Heroes are those that don't use the word I all the time. And we're going to get into that a little later. Positive, GM posts a $2 billion profit. When you're in a state like this, that's a pretty wonderful kind of a thing. I read that Americans have low hopes for compromise in Washington. And that's not really good. In fact, I was even reading in the paper that there's concern now that Snyder, his major concern and the Michigan citizens' concerns is clearly the economy, just like it is in Washington. And apparently there are people that have a lot of other agenda items. And in Washington, we have this Dream Act, which regardless of the merits of it, the American people really have had elections. We've had it in Michigan. We've had it in Washington that seem to say, it's the jobs. It's kind of work with this. Now, am I being a little harsh, John?
No, I think that's a pretty accurate representation of what's going on at both the people level and the political level.
Yeah, and there really is kind of that gap. You know, we've talked about this before, and I've talked about it with Jack, and no one's really attacked me too much, even though maybe a lot of people disagree with me. I believe at the state level, the local level, the county level, there seems to be people that more readily represent what the views of the people are. But somehow in this Washington stuff, I just can't really figure out, because right now you would think that after the election, there would be a total emphasis on jobs, 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 getting the economy going. And that does not appear to be the case.
No, it definitely doesn't. It seems like they want to kind of do their thing and be in their cocoon out there in Washington.
Well, that appears to be the case. But let's just move into the area of heroes, John. Now, don't tell me I'm your hero, even though I'm not going to. And if you go to our website at drjohnb.com, you're not going to be hearing I'm a hero. But what is a hero, John? And in fact, does the world need Superman?
Well, I think they do. I mean, I think real-life heroes, I mean, not the Superman and Batman variety, but the real-life heroes, I think they're the people that they operate on our playing field. They're, you know, tangible human beings that have that achieve their goals, I think, and really serve as powerful motivators for all of us. And I think an analogy that I like to use is like the ice breaking chips in the polar cap regions. They kind of make the barrier for everyone else to come through and follow through. And someone that I think of, I mean, if you're a runner, is the
Roger Bannister,
the man who we had the 4 minute mile. Before him, it was one of those things, no one could do it, no one could do it, no one could do it. And then, boom, he did it. And then after that, it seemed like a lot of people, it seemed like overnight, well, it was a surprise that it was ever really that big of an achievement, because it became much more commonplace after that to do the 4 minute mile. So he kind of served as the, you know, the human, the tangible. You could see it. You could see that it could be done. And for runners, it was kind of a hero in their world.
And back on the Prince, I believe he is now Sir Roger Bannister. Not that I'm picking on those, and I get the royalty, and I refuse to be called a sir if the Queen calls. There's a call, you said, John. But anyway, yeah, Roger Bannister. I might be wrong, and Jack might, and Scott may know. I actually believe two people ran under four minutes on that particular race.
Yeah, I think he had like 3:57, and number two in that race came in 3:59.7.
Don't you hate to be number two? You know, no one's ever run under 4 miles, and who remembers the fellow that ran right with him after thousands of races and comes in number two? Is he a hero, John?
I guess only we remember him.
Well, and I think your point is really good. If we really want to have a hero, it's really the average person who in that moment of crisis is able to rise up and is able to really the job.
And another example, just as we're thinking about us talking about this, 9/11, the people that kind of went above and beyond the call of duty, that when they were called and, you know, they were called, you know, they were told that they were heroes, but it was like, well, we were just doing our job. We were just doing what we were, you know, sent out to do.
Now, I have told We Will Be Heroes if we take a brief break here at this point. So we will actually take a break and come back about heroes. And quit calling me your hero, John.
Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. This is Dr. John Braccio with the other Dr. John Braccio. We're sitting here at the Golden Throne, is what John, I usually call it the platinum microphone, of Jack Ebling, who is out in Hawaii enjoying some basketball games. But let's get back to the hero business. So this is the average person, John.
Yes, the average person that kind of define the limits of our aspirations. I think that a way of looking at them is that it's kind of the dare to be great type of a deal, where a lot of times in life we just go through the motions and we don't really push ourselves. These are the people that in that moment that they don't want to just be average. They don't want to just do what's expected. They want to push themselves to that limit.
And the interesting thing about the 9/11, and I think we've all seen documentaries on that horrible event where the Americans were just killed, slaughtered, just horrible. The remarkable thing is how every day Joe and Mary, Chucky, whoever it might be, how they became heroes. Not that, you know, we know there were the firefighters, there were the police, but there were people going in, risking their lives, some of which have certainly died, that really became heroes. I remember this fellow who had his face all potted, you know, from the fire or whatever was happening. He commented he never had any idea that he ever was going to be doing anything like that. So it is the common person who in the moment of crisis is able to really perform. Now, obviously, there are people trained and schooled for crisis, but that is not who the regular hero of everyday life, the person who helps you, helps someone else, just does good things for people.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, another thing is we're talking about 9/11. I also think of to some of our military people in Iraq and Afghanistan. There was just a person that I was watching that he was given the Medal of Honor. And again, when you talk to him, it's, you know, he jumped in front of a grenade. He saved all of these lives in his platoon. And the person interviewing Matthew, do you think of yourself as a hero? And he said, no, I just did what anyone else would do. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily true.
Well, here's an interesting thing. People that seek praise and think how remarkable they are, they always use the word I, me, mine, and they don't want to give credit to other people. And people that give credit to others, those are really true heroes. There are people, you could almost call them the medal seekers. Whenever they get a chance, they want to pick up a medal, a prize. They want their name on a report. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with seeking, desiring, pushing, fighting. But really, the real heroes are people that every day keep the lights going, keep the work going, like our buddy over here, making sure everything is working. Get off the floor, old buddy. You know, that keep everything going. Now, let's talk about a different type of hero. Everybody would like to be Superman. Why is Superman a hero? The American way and his flag and all that type stuff.
Well, I think Superman is, well, even with that, it's you have the unassuming Clark Kent, but, you know, he's very humble, doesn't want any attention for himself, but in that moment of need, there always seems to be a phone booth that he can just jump into real quick and save the day.
Yeah. Well, you hit a point. As incredible as he is, he can turn time back, he can do about anything. He still has crises, he has problems that occur, and he is a good guy. He's not one of these. Imagine, you know, I even hate to think about it. What if we had the power of Superman? I think how many of us could behave like Clark Kent? I don't like what's going on over here. I think I'll take over. Superman could really have a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. I think he could be a great tailback for Michigan State, too.
Yeah, I've always kidded with the movie. You remember when they found the little baby in Glen Ford? And, you know, John and I have actually kidded that if we found him, well, you were sent here to score touchdowns and hit home runs and score basketball points, but we're not going to tell everybody. No, not really. That would be a misuse of our buddy Superman. But I do feel that is what makes him such an endearing hero. He's really Mr. Clean, and the way he can hide himself, we'll talk about that even a little later. But heroes are wonderful things. I want to actually talk about a few quotes here, okay? if you want to go back in time, part of being a hero also is being able to really do something remarkable in a time of crisis. Winston Churchill, I think to many people, was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, people of the last century. In fact, he was made an honorary citizen during the time of John F. Kennedy. As I recall here, we may have someone come in and correct us like Bannister. I guess it wasn't that. There were two four-minute milers, under four-minute milers. But anyway, Churchill was a person that, as Kennedy said, he mobilized the language and sent it to war. But listen to this. Here France has fallen, all the disasters on Britain. They're fighting alone. And he's there giving you a good deal. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Golly, where do I line up for
that's
that?
That's it.
And then another one. May 13, 1940. What is our policy? To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. It's really not hard to get fired up after the Battle of Britain. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. And when he talked to Roosevelt when they needed supplies, give us the tools, we will finish the job. I mean, this, even when you read it now, it can really just put goosebumps up your back. So Churchill, in my estimation, is clearly one of
a hero.
He would be a hero. And I have a few more when we come back.